Small Studio is made possible by a grant from the Herbert Simon Family Foundation and with support from Nido Art Shop and Sun King Brewery.
So we are There Are Ghosts. We are beyond thrilled to be here at Small Studio. WFYI, so kind to invite us. The Woman in the Wooden Chest. That song inspiration actually came from a news headline on a muted television. I hate commercials, and we mute them every time they come on. But I glanced up, and there was like the upcoming, you know, coming up next on the news, and it said Woman in Wooden Chest. And that was it. And I don't know, it just struck me, and I thought about her and wondered what the backstory was because I never found out. And that story, or that song rather, was written to kind of flesh out her backstory in my mind as how she came to be in the wooden chest. And we joke that it's our non-smoking PSA because she bummed a cigarette from the wrong person. So don't smoke, kids. Everyone learns something with these small studio sessions, John. Excellent. Thank you. The next song is called The Clock End. Tick tock, tick tock. Thank you. Thank you. This is called Trains Collide. Was started 18 years ago. John started it 18 years ago. Went through a few configurations, a few bands, and then it found its home here. So we're lucky enough to have multiple songwriters in the band. I appreciate that as a vocalist. I don't have to worry about writing all the songs and the melodies. So John wrote The Clock End. Tony wrote Something's Changed, which is coming up next. And it's Purdy. Never would have cared. As we like to end it. Bye, Felicia.
Bye, Felicia.
This next song called Hide and Seek. This song is, I wrote, and it's written about a quite passionate but rather unhealthy in the long run relationship, and kind of about feeling guilty that you're enjoying it along the way until you figure out what's going on and get your head together and get out.
And you're carrying me away.
song is called Running Across Some Luck.
Different than you have before, 'cause you're running across some luck with a hair trigger breaking point. Oh, 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 oh. Trapped in a cage that doesn't exist. Tell me, why are you here? 'Cause you're scared of any decision, any vulnerable position, running across some blood with a hair trigger breaking point. I hope one day you'll try something different than you have.
This song is called That's What Happens to Hot Girls in the 90s, but we just call it Hot Girls.
Better than you. I questioned everything while you went with what you knew. A voodoo girl, redhead gypsy girl. Oh, in the 90s. It was your world you who shattered. How did you even cope?
And now, listen in for an interview with There Are Ghosts from WFYI's Jill Dittmeyer.
Let's first go around, everybody, say your name and what instrument you play in the band, too, so we've got that on record.
Okay. Tony Reitz, I play guitar.
Andrew Mahoney, I play bass guitar.
Mike Theodore, I am the drummer.
Gwyneth Reitz. I do vocals.
I'm Jonathan Harmon, and I play guitar.
What I think is really most interesting about you guys is the fact that, and you're still very young, but you've been around for a long time in the Indianapolis music scene, and you're still playing music. And that's kind of what I'd like to focus on with you guys about. So let's talk about that first. You mentioned that the one last song was really kind of the first song of the for the five of you. So the five of you have all been together playing in this band for how long then?
A couple of years.
Okay. But you've all reincarnated through other bands. Let's
absolutely
talk about that. Tell me about that.
Okay. Well, when we were teenagers in the early 90s, Tony and I were in a hardcore punk band. And then shortly after that, we were in another band. And that was sort of our introduction to each other, was when we were teenagers. And then after that happened, we sort of went our separate ways. And Tony has been in any number of bands, and then so have I. And now here we are as adults, and we've sort of come full circle. And all of us have been playing music together in some form or another. Gwen and I were in a band called Lunar Event. And then prior to that, Mikey and Andrew and I were in a band called Papalita, and we were all friends with each other and all sort of in each other's sphere, but never the five of us playing music together. And now it, you know, just sort of came full circle. It sort of happened.
How do you make the decision to leave a band and either go out on your own or join forces and become another band?
That's actually a great question. I know I can speak for Tony and myself in that we quit playing in a band when it's no longer fun because this isn't work for us. This is what we do to kind of let off steam and have a creative outlet. And so it has to still, you can't want to dread it. It can't feel like a chore. And as soon as it starts to, we get out.
Then how do you find people that you want to create a band with?
I've never really had to look very far. I mean,
yeah, we're surrounded by musician friends, I mean, so it's usually just a conversation.
Yeah, that's really how it happens. I mean, everybody in this band has been in my life for over 20 years, and so, you know, it's not like putting an ad in a paper, like, looking for a drummer. It's like, I don't need to look for a drummer because I know one, and he's like one of my best friends. So, you know, and that's the way it is with all of us. It's just, you know, we've known each other forever. We live in the same neighborhoods for the most part, except for Mikey, but we've all known each other forever, and it's not, it's just so natural, you know. It's yeah, you know, hey, you want to play in a band together? Sure. All right, let's do it.
But Mike, I think it was you that said when we were, before you guys even started recording, that said being in a band is like baking a cake. It's not like making pasta.
It's right. That is right. You know, you need all the you need all the right ingredients. You can't fudge on them. If you do, it doesn't turn out right. You know, pasta is a little more forgiving. You can boil the heck out of it, and you know, you'll still eat it if you put enough Parmesan cheese on top of it.
Stay tuned for lots more food metaphors.
That's a good one.
Tell me about the pros and cons of performing live versus just performing to record and distribute your music.
Well, performing live certainly brings in the nerves factor much, much more. We are very relaxed around each other, and we've played together for so long and are comfortable musicians, just, you know, period. So when we're writing to record, it's just a different vibe, and playing to record, excuse me. So when you're live, you have a lot of other factors that are introduced, and they're positive factors most of the time. I mean, there's the energy that you can pull off of a crowd is amazing, whereas it's more controlled, and we know what energy kind of to expect when we're together. And so it fosters a little bit more creativity, whereas playing in front of an audience, I think, at least for me, brings out more of my creativity in terms of a performance versus writing the lyrics or performing the melody.
And has over time, has the satisfaction factor changed from maybe back then it was more satisfying to play live, to maybe now it's more satisfying to be together
yes.
and create?
Yes, we have Absolutely. A very cozy practice space. It's fantastic. we have, is it macrame? Is that owl considered macrame?
No.
No, that's not macrame.
It's pottery.
Pottery?
It's ceramic.
It's a ceramic owl.
We're going to have to talk about your craft materials
you can,
after this.
You can tell that I did not go to art school like a couple of these people in the band.
I think nowadays, writing music is much more enjoyable than playing live. I love playing live. I'll always love playing live. But it seems like when you're younger, when you start a band, there's sort of like a it sort of feels like there's a certain way that you have to do things when you're younger. You form a band and you play out a lot and you try so hard to get your name out there and build a fan base that way, which is great. But we've all done that, you know, like, and so at this point now, I think the live thing, though enjoyable, is sort of on the back burner. I think what we enjoy more now than anything is actually the process of writing music and recording. Like, when you're younger, it seems like the writing process and the songs almost become they're almost in the back seat because you're so concerned about getting yourself out there and everything. And we don't really have that concern anymore. It's not really that important. What's more important now is actually writing the music, and that's where I think our enjoyment comes from.
Yeah, we're lucky enough to have a home studio, so we record a lot of our practices. We record a lot of more formal versions of our songs ourselves at home. And something that we've tried to do with this band from the start is make multiple versions of songs. So we have a practice of when we write a new song, at some point soon after it's fairly fleshed out, Tony will take it and turn it into a MIDI version. So we can almost do like a electronica version of it. And it allows you to play around with it so much more. You can speed up, the drum beat. You can put different effects on it. You can try a totally different mood. And that has really helped just the development, I would say, of our music, kind of the arc creatively, because it's very freeing to not feel like you're locked into just one approach with a song. And just we approach everything with a very sense of play and experimentation.
Is it still as important for all of you that other people hear your music, or are you as satisfied just creating your own for yourself?
It's certainly gratifying to have people hear us, and that is a desire and a goal of ours. But in the end, I think it's just priorities change. We're all in our around early 40s, full-time jobs, mortgages, kids, some of us. And so it's the reality of it that you have a limited amount of time, and how are you going to spend your free time? And for us, we prefer to be together and writing as much as possible. And so we just don't end up playing out very often because also, like I said, full-time jobs, tired. So we don't get out all that much.
Each of you, for your own creative outlet and your own growth musically, are you where you want to be? Are you still growing? Have you hopefully not hit your peak and going backwards?
I can speak for everybody. I think that we're never going to stop growing. I mean, that's just the nature of it. I mean, I remember thinking a year ago, writing a song and thinking, "Wow, this is like the greatest thing I've ever done." And I think about it now, and I'm like, "No, it's not. it's always going to get better. So we're always going to grow." That's why I have to say that.
Definitely in this band, I would say that I don't expect for us to hit a peak, and I don't think there's any concern of an arc like that. Songwriting within this particular band with these five people is the most easy. The songs just kind of fall out of us. It's amazing. Where in many other bands that I've been in, and it's quite common to struggle in the creative process. But we just feel beyond lucky because we don't struggle. We could write a new song every single time we get together for practice if we wanted to.
Yeah.
And that's super exciting. It just opens everything up. And we, Mikey's kids are young and they desperately want to come see us play and are too young to come visit at any 21 and over bar. However, they are our biggest fans, so shout out to our biggest fans, the
theaters.
They're
going to love this.
And, but they're planning on coming to see us when they turn 21, and we've told them that we will be in our 60s. Yeah.
We'll still be playing.
But we're still going to be playing, so it'll work out for them.
Actually, their plan is to overthrow a couple of the members and join.
So you would encourage them?
Yeah.
To usurp us, yes, I would. To rise up and, you know, maybe give John the heave-ho.
What is it about that joy, that love that you receive from music that you want your children to have as well?
Well, I want them to have that outlet, that creative outlet. Both of my kids are, I have four kids, but the two oldest are very musical, and they love to sing, play piano. Just gives them a lot of joy.
And I would think you guys must really have a great trust level, which is probably why it feels so easy to write songs.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Our practices are hilarious.
Yeah, they are.
There's a lot of freedom to kind of do your thing.
But yeah, you know, like, I know that Tony and I write a lot of songs or whatever, and I feel completely. I don't have to tell anybody what to do on a song, you know. And the same thing with Tony or any of us. If we write a song, I implicitly trust everybody and what everybody brings to. I'm very fortunate to have to write songs and bring them to four people that make them way better than they were when I thought of them. And I'd like to think that Tony feels the same way.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Definitely.
So,
explain that process a little bit too. Do you come up with the melody first and then the words or a thought, or how does it work for you guys?
I mean, for me, it kind of, for the most part, I typically start off with the music, just sitting around playing guitar and something will happen. And I'll hear a vocal melody, and occasionally I'll write lyrics. I write lyrics if it's important. otherwise, I let Gwen or Tony take care of words on songs that I write. But usually it starts with music, and then the vocals and the lyrics will come later. But yeah,
I feel like the older I've got, the more random it is. So there will be some times where I'll hear everything at once. And I kind of know the general direction I want the whole song to go, the feel, and everything like that. But then there's also times where I just have a vocal melody and then I try to find chords to put behind it. And that's a totally different process. You know, I'll be reading a book and see a line in there that I want to steal. And I'll base a whole song off of it.
Yeah, I do that all the time too.
And
same.
So it's different, you know, when we were a lot younger, and maybe it's just because the kind of music we were playing, it seemed like it was more about riffs. So, I wrote this part. And the older I've gotten, the more it's been like, hey, I got a song.
Right.
So let's.
Yeah, exactly. It was all about riffs when we were younger, and now, like, we actually.
It's more of a big picture.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you too about, you mentioned when Trains Collide, when you performed that song, that it really came through a whole metamorphosis.
I wrote that song 18 years ago. 18 years ago.
What was it like then as opposed to now?
It's not that much different. I wrote the lyrics in 1997. It was about like a really bad thing that happened to me that now means really nothing to me anymore because it was 18 years ago. But like the lyrics came out of like this bad thing, and I remember writing the lyrics and I didn't have words or music to it, and I just sort of forgot about it. And then that was in 1997. In 2001, Mikey and I were, me and Mikey and Andrew were in a band together, and I wrote this music and I ended up putting the words to it, and it was going to be a Papalita song, and it just never panned out. It didn't really go anywhere. And so I put it on the back burner again. I've been putting this song on the back burner for years, never really thinking about it. And now I decided to, you know, show it to everybody and like, hey, what do you think of this? And it ended up sounding way better now than it ever did before. And it's kind of cool because even though the song was about like something specific that happened to me that doesn't mean anything to me anymore, it's still like universal, that feeling that, you know, it's kind of a sad song. But
well, that's what's amazing about music is you can the inspiration might be one particular thing, but the end result of what you do with it creatively and how other people contribute is it becomes something greater than the sum of its parts. Yeah. And if you do a good job, it stands the test of time and means many things to many people.
It actually means more to me now than it did when I was 22, mm-hmm. when I wrote it. So, yeah, the specific memory is long gone, but that feeling of that song is like totally universal and it'll never go away. You know, it's something that all of us feel. You know, we've all had our hearts broken before, you know, and that's where that song came from. And I think it's kind of cool that 18 years later.
Feels really good that song's finally.
It's yeah.
Finally out there.
I know. Mikey and Andrew especially, because they've been along for the journey for truly. Most of the time, you know.
Well, I'm glad you kept it in your back pocket and that you brought it out for us, because it's one of my very favorite songs to sing. The melody is very fun.
Awesome. That makes me happy.
I feel like it just kind of was biding its time until it found its proper home.
I think so too. I think about other songs that I wrote 18 years ago, and I'm like embarrassed. You know,
like I have lots of songs that I feel the same way about.
Right, but that one has stood the test of time, and I'm glad it's finally made its debut.
That one, and maybe it's because you wrote it so long ago, like when you first played it at practice, I was just like, this doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. Like, the chords don't make sense together, the bass and drums at the beginning, and then what we go into chord wise and then the chorus. I was just like,
kind of weird. Yeah.
I'm like, what am I gonna do with this? Because everything else just like fit like a glove.
But then
you know, you get space pedals out and all of a sudden it's fixed.
Exactly. Yeah, we use a lot of effects pedals.
I love it because it took me back to times long ago too. I love that kind of music.
Awesome. Oh, cool. Awesome.
Thank you.
It does feel like you guys are just like, you're just really kind of starting to get into your groove.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I agree.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's exciting.
Yeah.
We feel it too.
We jokingly call ourselves the Mutual Appreciation Society sometimes at practice, because we're all very positive and we're very encouraging to each other. You know, we'll finish playing a song and we'll have kind of blown ourselves away, and so then like a couple minutes we'll follow after the song's done of us just congratulating each other and talking about how amazing we are. Yeah. And even though it's like half joking and half serious, it's one of my favorite things about our band, because it's just so fun. There's no there's no downside. There's nothing negative. There's nothing I dread. We're just five super good friends playing music that we love together.
Yeah.
And it's the best use of our time. I think Mikey said it best in one of the recent practice where he said it, because he's a busy man, full-time job, married, four kids. And he doesn't have a whole lot of free time. And when he does have it, he said he always wants to be with us. It's how he wants to spend his free time. And I feel the same way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
It's getting mighty sweet in here.